people watching me. What an inconvenient place for people to just watch me while I'm live streaming. What a bunch of freaks all of you people are on the internet. I hope you feel good about yourselves peering in through the window that is my desktop. Ugh, bunch of creepers. Well, while you're here, I'm Q, your host for this edition of The Last Word, and I'm surrounded by some of my favorite guests and maybe some of your favorite guests. We'll see. I guess only champions will tell. Let me introduce them to my, let's go this way. Yeah, to this side, I have Steve. What's going on, Steve?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Last Word, a game show that I have heard of once.
Same. That's literally everybody right now. They're like, I think I know what this is. It's on ESPN, right?
I think that we have extrasensory perception. No, that's ESP. Different show.
That's true. 100%. Different show, not this show. Unless you're a fan of that show, then this is that show. Then I also have Matthew. What's going on, Matthew, this side?
I'm down here hiding from my kids, basically. They're all upstairs doing dishes. I have four kids at nice. Home. Just there's steaks on the line, man. Not like actual steaks. I can't afford those. But, you know, this is a high stakes game for me. My kids are going to watch this. They're going to judge me as a father based on how I do tonight.
It's true. What's weird is your kids were emailing into the show earlier asking to make sure that you lost. So I don't, maybe there's some things that need to get worked out. I mean, I don't know. Ben, let's hop down to the bottom row. Ben, here we go.
Hi, guys.
What's happening, Ben?
Not too much. What's going on, everybody? I've never been on this show before. I was on the PartyCast a couple weeks ago and I watched this show actually by accident when I was watching for PartyCast stuff. And I clicked on one of the last words by accident and I was like, oh, that looks fun. And then Dames texted me and he was like, hey, you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, I already watched an episode.
Excellent. Ben, the first person in history to somehow lose a PartyCast. That's not even a game show. I don't even know how that works. But I hope you have come here to redeem yourself.
I did, in fact, lose a PartyCast. You can't do it, but I did it.
I know. It's amazing. And that's why we're honored to have you. Last but not least, we have Skeeter right here. Hey, Skeeter, what's happening?
Not much. How about you?
Oh, you know, just here on this predetermined time, on this predetermined night to do this predetermined game show.
Well, I'm bound and determined to do better than last time, so let's see how it goes.
I am bound and determined to keep you from doing so. So
I sent you a bribe through PayPal, didn't I?
I know, and I told you last time it wasn't enough. Hi, everyone. I am so, so excited to dive into this week's episode. This is going to be tons of fun. We've already got people commenting. Just so you know, if you are out there watching on Facebook, on Twitch, drop a comment. Your comment can appear on the show, just like this one from Dane, who said, Ben definitely lost the PartyCast. He got teabagged by Toby from Labyrinth. That is an embarrassing fact.
Because that is now everyone wearing a Toby costume. That's the embarrassing part.
That is true. It was Dane as Toby.
If it was Murph, yeah. It'd be all right.
He really did dance that magic dance, if you know what I mean. I'm so excited for those who are tuning in to The Last Word for the first time. I'll give you a quick rundown of how the game goes. The game goes a little something like this. We're going to have three rounds, each round consisting of two pop culture related questions, except for the third round. And that round is for almost winners. We'll have two people go head to head against one final question in the third round, and that will determine who the Last Word's winner is tonight. Now, points are going to be awarded after each question. How do I get those points? Is it some sort of magical scoring system that I have just calculators and abacuses and things that I'm tabulating? No, it's not. It's really just my opinion and this handy dandy little notepad, right? It's Blue's Clues 25th year anniversary. So I'm handy dandy notebook where I'm going to draw pictures and we'll figure out who's going to win tonight. That's the mystery we're solving. Come on, Blue. Now, this is a very serious game. So I hope you all brought your finest answers because it's not just me that's judging you. I mean, I'm the only one that matters. But everyone that's watching right now on the interwebs, they're judging as well. Are you all ready to be judged by the interwebs?
Sure.
I was born for this.
I was born being judged.
I like the enthusiasm. Sure. Matthew, absolutely. Bring it on. Tonight we dine in hell. I love it. I feel so good. No more wasting time. Let's dive into round one. Yeah. Now, for those who have been watching The Last Word from the beginning, that music on those video interstitials, that is brand new. Back in the original version of the show, we used to do things like, round one, this is round one, and you're watching a round one episode. People wrote in and they were like, as much as we love hearing you sing made up songs about the rounds, we would really prefer some professional music. So again, internet, you spoke and we listened, just like the director of Sonic the Hedgehog. Will we replace any of these guys with more realistic CG animation than originally planned? I don't know. Stay tuned to find out. But in the meantime, let's get into question one. Now, again, as I mentioned, this is a serious show where we deal with some of the hot button topics of our day. And this first one, this has really got people's minds reeling. There is one burning thought on everyone's mind right now, and that is trying to unpack their thoughts and feelings on Chris Pratt being cast as Mario in the new Super Mario animated film. Is this good? Explain your opinion. Let's go with Steve. First sub question. Do you think in this movie his name will still be Mario Mario?
Yes, the continuity and canon are important to the Super Mario live action movie set. Oh, wait, this is not live action. This is animated. Chris Pratt, the most handsome Han Soloist of all of the Hollywood elite, is going to be a voice in this. Bob Hoskins is dead. That's why Chris Pratt gets this role.
Oh my god, that made me sad.
Dennis Hopper then. Oh, Dennis Hopper is dead. Oh. Chris Pratt gets his role. John Leguizamo, not dead as far as I know, but since 1997's The Pest, maybe he is. He's just a little dead.
That's fair. Maybe his career. I don't know. I saw him in that John Wick movie, and he was pretty good.
You watched a John Wick movie?
I watched all the... Steve, you're immediately trying to lose this game. It's impressive. It's definitely a stance. So was that your feeling whether or not this was a good thing, Steve?
I'm a big fan of Chris Pratt. I enjoy his work. I will enjoy his work even more when I don't have to see his Hollywood elite, you know, body that he's made for himself. The Chris Pratt of The Office is my Chris Pratt. The Han Solo of Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt. I will watch this Mario movie so much. Yes, Dane, I was referring to you. You have not seen a John Wick movie. Neither have I, my friend.
Well, this is an interesting way to start off the round. I appreciate your thoughts that we don't want to look at chiseled Chris Pratt, only doughy Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec.
I totally
understand that. I get it. Matthew, what are your thoughts on the situation?
All right, come on, Hollywood. I mean, first you got Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo, and now we got this doofy Midwestern nerd. I mean, come on. I know doofy Midwestern dudes. Like, I'm one of them, and Chris Pratt is a doofy Midwestern dude. And don't get me wrong. I love nerds. I love doofy dudes. I just don't want them working on my plumbing. And, you know, Star-Lord, he had accessories. All right. That's why Star-Lord was a badass. He had to have accessories. You know, all the stuff that happened in the second movie can just go, you know, I don't care. It was the accessories. All Mario has is overalls and determination. Chris Pratt ain't made of that kind of stuff, you guys. Plus, Hollywood keeps treating Italian people like they're mythological creatures. Put an Italian person in there for crying out loud.
Matthew, we all know Italian people don't actually exist. They were just made up by the Hollywood machine.
And well, and I think they all live underwater as well, if Luca is any indication of what's going on out there.
It's true. They're all half mer people. Spoiler for that Pixar movie, for those of you who were very interested in watching it, spoiler free.
Yes.
Ben, do you have thoughts on the situation?
I do, and one of them being, I don't know why we're making this movie in the first place, but I guess if you're going to do it, Chris Pratt was not a best case scenario, because I think that probably would have been Danny DeVito. And would have made the most sense. And let's get this out of the way. All these video games that keep getting adapted into animated movies, can we stop Hollywood? Like, can we just stop? Like, you're putting Chris Pratt, who has been mentioned earlier on in this show already as one of the most handsome of the Hollywood elite, you're putting him behind a Mario, again, doofy Midwestern guy. Like Matt said, why would you want him working on your plumbing? Also, how have you never seen a John Wick movie? Come on.
That's fair. And Ben gets extra points. Let's see. Skeeter, what are your thoughts on the situation?
It's kind of a yes and no. Sadly, I have a little bit of a heartstrings tugged when I found out they're going to redo it. But I was happy that it's going to be an anime because Chris Pratt, no. You like you guys said, there's no way he does not fit the look. There could have been a number of people that could have done it. It's too bad Captain Lou Albano's dead. He could have reprised the role for an animated series. But yeah, Chris Pratt, I love the guy. He was good. Throw him in the next John Wick movie, but not, you know, Mario Brothers. No way. There's no way he could do this because it'll be the next Sonic the Hedgehog, probably.
Interesting thought. Can you imagine if, like, fans were outraged that Mario didn't look, like, realistic enough? So they just developed some sort of, like, Uncanny Valley version of a CGI Mario, and it's just, like, this wild-eyed, like, Italian plumber from the Bronx. Man. Gosh, I really miss Bob Hoskins. Yeah. I will say you all had very interesting answers. Steve, you made me very sad because you reminded me of how many actors I miss. Mm-hmm. That's two. Two actors exactly. No more, no less.
John Leguizamo and Bob
exactly.
Hoskins.
Exactly. And Bob Hoskins. Dennis Hopper. I don't know. But I'm going to give you 2 points for this first question. The reason being because you made me sad, but also I did dock you. You haven't seen a John Wick movie, and that's unacceptable.
Assume that is just a spinoff of The Matrix, and it's just Neo. No, it's not. Maybe the dog is digital. I don't know.
Listen, if it's not, I'm just gonna think of it that way from now on. Because that's if it's just like a program that Neo is running, like the John Wick program,
that's it.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Like for those movies, that makes a lot of sense. Dane's very opinionated tonight. He says it's a dog, just get over it.
It's a digital dog, Dane.
I refuse.
He's a cat.
So I'm gonna give you 2 points. Matthew, I'm giving you a solid 3 points. I appreciate you. I appreciate your opinion on Midwesterners. I think that that's fair. I also like that you finally put out your conspiracy theory that Italian people don't exist, sure. Which I appreciate. I know you've been cultivating that for a while. You've messaged it to me incessantly. Like, yeah. I can't wait to be on this episode just so I can drop this knowledge on the world that Italian people aren't real. They were made up. So are birds.
People need to know this stuff, man.
They do.
All right.
It's facts. So I appreciate that. So I gave you a solid 3. Skeeter, I gave you 4. I gave you 4 points. Mainly because you dropped a Lou Albano reference, which is always appreciated. For anybody who watched I don't even remember if it was late 80s or early 90s Super Mario Brothers television show. They had live action introductions to each episode by Captain Lou Albano, who to this day, I will agree, is the best portrayal of Mario that we've got, like, he's awesome. I will take that any day. If they want to, like, Grand Moff Tarkin, Lou Albano, into this movie, I'm cool with it. Like, I am 100% cool. I don't know if his estate is cool with it, but I'm cool with it personally. And I know that that matters to a lot of people. Ben, I gave you a solid 2. It's a 2 mainly because your answer kind of sounded like Matthew's answer. And I know that's a problem with the game. It's just how you're chosen and you can't help that, but it is what it is. So Steve, 2, Ben, 2, Matthew, 3, Skeeter and Captain Lou Albano, 4 at the end of question 1. Question 2, speaking of casting reveals, this past weekend, Netflix held their first ever online fan event called Ta-dum. Get it? It's like the sound that Netflix makes when it opens. It's like boom, dum, dum, dum.
Yeah.
It's so clever. They are so clever. Anywho, they revealed the opening credit sequence for the highly anticipated Cowboy Bebop live action adaptation of the popular anime series. Said it. Nailed it. It looked pretty awesome, in my opinion. What is an animated series, anime or otherwise, that you think is itching for the live action treatment? Ben, since you got hosed by going last time, second to last. Ben, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go first this time. What do you got for me?
So my answer is actually kind of an interesting one because it's already been adapted once, but they've screwed it up every single time they've tried to adapt it. And that's Death Note, because it's what got me into anime way back when. And they keep screwing up the live action. Can we just get a good live action Death Note, please? I'm not asking for a lot.
That's totally fair. Now, I have to ask, are you aware, and I only found this out recently because I have 2 teenage daughters that are very into anime, that Death Note also has a Japanese live action film series already. They have like 4 or 5 live action films.
I actually found that out when I was in high school many years ago.
Okay. Are they any good? I don't know. I haven't seen them. They're not good.
Think the American version of the live action that they did. And yes. Then somehow make it worse.
Well, that's harsh criticism. Adam Wingard, Ben's coming for you. He does not like your adaptation of Death Note. All right, let's go to Skeeter. You seem to have some thoughts on it.
Yeah, they really did horrible on a lot of anime video game adaptations, but just animation, cartoon. The only good ones we ever got were Transformers and Turtles, in my opinion. But if I had to pick a series, I'm kind of torn between 2 shows that I watch, Sword Art Online and Attack on Titan. But they'd have to hit it really good with an expensive budget and not have M. Night Shyamalan do it at all. Far, far away from it. Please, Hollywood, keep them far, far, far away from that project.
Man, shots fired to M. Night Shyamalan. I will say, I have to ask this question again. Thanks, teenage kids. Didn't they already have a live action version of Attack on Titan as well?
No.
I'm pretty sure there are Japanese live action Attack on Titan films. I'm just saying, I don't know if it's true. Somebody who's watching this feed, drop it in the comments. Let me know. Fact check me right now. I dare you, internet. Oh, God, there's no way that could possibly bite me in the ass. Good answer, Skeeter. I like it. Appreciated. Steve, what do you got?
I've got a show that is ready for a reboot, whether it's animated or live action or a live action movie. Dexter's Laboratory is ready for a reboot. I have missed the comedy of that show. The opportunities are endless. You need something that's human based. I was going to go with Cow and Chicken. I would love to see a Cow and Chicken live action, but then in my head it was a real cow and a real chicken, not as funny as the animation. Dexter's Laboratory is the way to go.
Oh, Steve up here dropping some Cartoon Network knowledge. I love it. I appreciate it. Not to put you on the spot, but off the top of your head, who would you cast as Dexter in a live action like
Chris
film?
Pratt is really
Chris Pratt. Chameleon Chris Pratt. I love it. I'm into it. Matthew, what do you got?
All right. You know, I always have these outlandish theories and these weird ideas. So you're going to have to come along with me on this journey. But I'm thinking live action remake of Pinky and the Brain. It's just regular ass mice. Okay. I know that Steve just referenced how that didn't work for Cow and Chicken, but it's going to work for Pinky and the Brain. You get to hear all of the internal monologues and all of the dialogue, but you're going to have to figure out clever ways how to show actual mice try to take over the world. They're going to build like Rube Goldberg contraptions with their noses. You know, it'll be, you know, cute little mice, and they'll almost succeed every time. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm subscribing to whatever streaming platform that show is on.
As long as you have the original actors, because Maurice
LaMarche and I don't know the other guy. I'm sorry.
Rob Paulson.
Rob Paulson, of course.
The classic Rob Paulson.
Apologies to Rob Paulson. He's amazingly talented.
And his entire family, Matthew.
For sure. All of them. I'm sorry. Right now. You're not imaginary, Rob Paulson. I believe in you.
You're very real and very appreciated for your talents. I love that idea. I'm going to be honest. It could have gone one of two ways when you were setting that up. I thought either A, you were going to say real mice, or B, you are going to say Maurice LaMarche and Rob Paulson in mouse costumes.
I should be docking points because I think that's a way better movie.
Both of which would have been more than acceptable answers. Mm-hmm. We did get one of the two, and it's very much appreciated. So I have awarded points thusly. Steve, you have 5 points. I couldn't agree with you more. We did a series. I don't even remember what podcast it was on, but we talked about cartoon adaptations, and that your choice was my choice. I genuinely think that there's something to be said about a live action Dexter's Laboratory. Joke or not, I would watch that. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to take it a step further, and I'd say I would want to watch Dexter's Laboratory like 20 or 25 years after the series takes place, because I want to see where these characters go. Like, I want to like flash forward to like adult Dexter dealing with the fallout of like all of these like horrible shenanigans that have happened to his family, and his like DDs in an insane asylum, and like all of these like crazy dark versions. I want to like return to Oz the shit out of that movie.
Or so that dark version of Big Bang Theory.
Yes. Yeah, I got 5 points for Steve. I got 4 points for Matthew, because again, Matthew coming out strong. Pinky the Brain, one of my favorite series. I told you I thought it was going to go one of two ways. Both ways were acceptable. You chose left, I chose right, but we all win because you get 4 points. Ben, I'm going to give you 2 points because I thought it was good. Death Note has been done, but it's already been done. I know you want a better one, but it's already been done.
It's hard to be worse, and there is a live-action Attack on Titan. I did Google that after you said
Okay, and that is why Skeeter also received 2 points, because that one has also already been done, and I knew it! Thank you, Ben, for fact-checking me. You still only get 2 points, so I'm sorry. So, let's tally the points. At the end of round one, we have Matthew with 7 points. We have Steve with 7 points. Are you the same person, Matthew and Steve? We have Skeeter with 6 points. And Ben, you have 4 points. You are tonight's first loser.
Well, that was epic.
Successfully come on 2 Project Nerd shows and lost them both. Congratulations. You're the best loser I've ever had. I sincerely appreciate it. Everybody say bye temporarily to Ben. Goodbye,
bye,
Ben.
Temporarily.
See you soon. All right. My favorite 3 contestants. It's so nice to see you guys. I am ready to dive into round 2. I don't know about you guys, but I say let's get started. Round 2. Bamble, bamble, bam. I love that new music. That's so nice. Thousands of dollars that cost. $15 that cost. $15. Whole dollars. Well spent. Nice guy that I found on a street corner. Does a lot of music part-time, but he's making it. He's making it. Making his way downtown. All right, question one, fellas. Spooky season is upon us. And with that, we have some horror faves stalking their way back into theaters. October 15th marks the return of Michael Myers and the David Gordon Green directed Halloween Kills sequel to his 2018 Halloween Rebequel. Rebequel, for those who don't know, is essentially a reboot and a sequel combined together because it's kind of the same thing. And then in January, we get the long gestating Scream sequel, Scream 5. If you had your way, what is a horror franchise that deserves a new entry and why? Let's go with Skeeter. Skeeter, you're first up. What you got?
I'd like to see a reboot, if not of Strangeland. Dee Snider's movie that he wrote, directed, and starred in, he felt like they cut so much out of it that he wanted. I'd love to see it redone to the full vision that he had. It was creepy. It was ahead of its time. He was talking about internet chats and kidnapping people way before it was actually happening. So, I mean, it's really cool that he thought of this, but it's kind of scary at the same time because he might have been part of it. I don't know, but, you know, it's Dee Snider, but Twisted Sister for life, you know?
Fair. Totally fair. I will say that I think that's a great cut. I feel like nobody ever references Strangeland, and it's not because it's not a very interesting or decent movie from the time. I think I have it on VHS somewhere around here. I believe the serial killer's name was like Captain Howdy or something. Yep. In that movie. That was one of the first movies that it introduced the concept of extreme piercing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Cause they did a bunch of weird body modification, hanging from hooks and shit like that. Gross stuff. Just weird, gross stuff, but cool, interesting, weird stuff. Good pick. I don't know how that would be continued. I would be interested. I'm in if Dee Snider comes back and does the sequel or a rebequel somehow. I'm into that. I like that idea. Let's go with Matthew. What do you got?
All right. I'm looking around and I think all of you remember 2003 like I do. Okay. We're all old enough to remember 2003. That was the year of Freddy versus Jason. And I remember all of the internet nerds, me being one of them, were worked up into a lather about the possibility of a Freddy versus Jason versus Ash entry in the series. And I still want to see that on the big screen. I want my dream warriors to have boomsticks and chainsaw hands, all due respect to Patricia Arquette and everything. But, you know, then you get the smart ass remarks between Ash and Freddy, and then, you know, Ash versus Jason, you know, that's going to be comedic, physical comedy gold. I want to see that immediately.
Man, that is such a great answer. I was definitely one of those. I was definitely one of those nerds that got all lathered up over a Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. I believe that lived on in comic book form somewhere, right, if I remember correctly.
I assumed it did. That's why I specified big screen, because I didn't want to step out of bounds.
Yeah, so. No, that's totally fair. I would have loved to see that movie. Bruce Campbell in all his glory going toe to toe with Jason. With Jason and Freddy, that would have been killer.
Killer.
See what I did there?
Pun intended.
Dad jokes. Steve, what do you got for me?
I am going to skip my first two paragraphs about how it would be wonderful to be excited for the new Evil Dead reboot. Ooh. Or sequel or rebequel, because I am sort of excited about it. I didn't love the 2013 sans Bruce Campbell. I'm sorry, it's just not the same thing. So I went down the horror comedy genre a little bit. I did a rewatch of House from 1986. You might remember this. is a fun little horror comedy with William Catt, Richard Mall, and George Wendt. Those are some big hitters in the sitcom world of 1986, and they made a horror comedy. I think we're ready for a reboot, a redo on House. As an adult, I rewatched this, and I realized it's about PTSD. It's about a Vietnam vet who is losing his mind, and boy, we might have some other people with PTSD nowadays in the 21st century. Time to have a good, wholesome horror comedy bloodbath with House 2021.
Oh, I am so into this. It's so strange. You're all calling movies or ideas and concepts that I really, really like. It's making this question very hard. I love House and its sequel. And I would love to see another House movie. I think that that's something that just doesn't exist anymore. It's kind of like I think the sequel went the route of more of like a horror comedy, where the original was more of a straightforward, kind of like the Evil Dead movies.
Not like Evil Dead at all, right? Yeah,
not how that's totally unrelated.
How would anybody make a movie like that after a scary movie like the first one?
Let's make it a comedy. I love the idea of kind of bringing that style of like horror comedy back. I think the closest we got to anything like that in recent memory that I can think of is Cabin in the Woods. Which was essentially, you know, a decent horror film, but also had tons of comedy slathered all over it. Mm-hmm. So I loved all of these answers. You all got very close. Skeeter, I gave you 4 points. Solid answer. Solid answer. Matthew, I gave you 5 points because, like I said, I was one of those nerds who got all lathered up over that idea. And Steve, I also gave you 5 points because House and House 2 Electric Boogaloo is maybe one of my favorite sequels ever. I love all of these. And I'm not the only one. We got fans watching right now who also are fans of House. So I know that I chose wisely, as did you. So that brings us to our second question in round two. And this, my friends, is where we divide the wheat from the chaff, as they say here in the Midwest. Let's all be honest. The Muppets are awesome. A Muppet Christmas Carol is one of the best holiday films ever. That isn't up for debate. That's not part of this question. That's just facts. Muppet Treasure Island is yet another literary classic improved by our felt friends. And we may have another hit in the upcoming Muppets Haunted Mansion releasing on Disney Plus this October. What is a property? And now it can be anything, book, movie, TV series, theme park ride, or video game that you think is in need of a Muppet-fied adaptation. Let's go with Matthew on this one. What do you got?
All right. I think the world is ready for this, and I'm just going to come right out and say it. Muppet Tarantino. We've got Gonzo Unchained, Reservoir Rolfs, Once Upon a Time in Sesame Street, where Big Bird murders the Manson family. Tell me you wouldn't buy a ticket to all of those tomorrow. Muppet Tarantino.
I love this. And you came prepared with movie title names, I also love. So thank you very much. Steve, what do you got to compete with that?
I have nothing to compete with that, but literally you could put the Muppets in anything and you will get my money. I will watch any Muppet adaptation of anything, even if they took like The Office and made that into a Muppets TV show. Oh wait, they did that. It was terrible. Ignore that. My world is full of a few things: the Muppets and Doctor Who. A Muppets Doctor Who. It would not be Kermit as the Doctor. It would be the cast and crew of Pigs in Space with time travel and British monster puppets.
I like that.
I love this. Yeah. I love this because I too am a Doctor Who fan and a Muppet
Link
fan.
A Link as the Doctor and then a Strange Pork as like the Master. You've got something there.
I love this. And if only in title alone, though, I am slightly sad that you didn't say Dr. Teeth as the Doctor. I mean, he already has a PhD.
Make him the master. What if he's the master?
Yeah, I'm 100% all over this. If they have, why they haven't had a Doctor Who Muppet mashup yet, I don't know. I don't know. And all I know is somebody's wrong. Somebody has made the wrong decision. Skeeter, what do you think should be Muppet-fied?
I think they need to, they've hit a couple of different series. I know they did a True Blood, which was called True Mud. And they've done a couple other things, and I'm pretty sure they did do a Doctor Who one. But I think they should go a little more off-rail, like 50 Shades of Fur, Mad Max, Sesame Street Road, even, you know, saying the Conjuring series, have them hop into there. And just have like Gonzo being the inspector going around and trying to solve and exorcise demons and ghosts. I think that'd be pretty much the cooler way. They hit the horror action movies.
I like that. And for some reason, while you said the Muppets in The Conjuring, I couldn't get out of my head the image of from the first Conjuring when they have the clapping game. And yep. I imagine them like doing the clap, and then it like cuts over to a dark hallway. An animal appears, and he goes, "We're clapping." That I really like that idea a lot.
You're thinking the same way I was.
That's fun stuff. Solid answers across the board. All right, we're awarding points. It's points time. Okay, here we go. I just did it. Went with my gut. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Matthew has removed himself. How dare he? He recused himself from the competition. I hope he comes back. It says he's in audio only. Maybe he will decide to join us video as well.
It was a haunted
he just couldn't question. Stand to watch the points be awarded. The pressure was too much. Steve, we'll start with you. Steve, you get a solid 4 points. 4 points. Because I agree with you. I think the Muppets and Doctor Who deserve a mashup. Again, I loved your casting idea. But I will also say that I definitely think Dr. Teeth should be in there anyway. It should just be a... If only for namesake pun worthiness alone. So I love that. 4 points. Matthew, back just in time. Just in time to hear his results read.
All right, here we go.
You just couldn't take it. You got too nervous.
I was.
You're like, oh, I gotta log out. I'll log back in once they're done awarding points. Matthew, you're coming out of this question with 5 points, my friend. Five points because that's an insane answer. I have not with me. I picked up at a convention a sketch that an artist did there of Bert and Ernie as Jules from Pulp Fiction. And it's awesome. That is a mashup waiting to happen. But I think even more so, I loved your titles. I think they all fit and they all felt very Muppety, very, very on brand. So I very appreciate that. So 5 points. Skeeter, I'm going to give you 2 points. I'm giving you 2 points. It was so close. It was a good idea. I love the idea of them being in action horror movies. I just feel like your concept wasn't quite fleshed out as much. And so that, my friend, is why you get two. So at the end of this round, we have Skeeter with 12 points. We have Steve with 16 points. And we have Matthew with, 18 points. Ooh. So that means, right. Skeeter, this is where your game ends, my friend. So everybody wave bye to Skeeter. Skeeter, we'll see you shortly. Farewell. My favorite two contestants. Don't tell the others that. Guys, I'm so pumped. This is the most important round of the game because, I mean, it's the final round of the game. So... Let's just get into it. Final round. Mm-hmm. boot and doot and do again. Cannot get over that street corner musicians music that we paid $15 to. It is so catchy.
I think I opened for that guy the other night, by the way. So that's fun.
Oh, we do have a Gobo said, did anyone see the Game of Thrones Sesame Street? I did not. But
the Hungry Games featuring Cookie Monster or Cookie Ever Eat, as referred to himself.
Of course it is. That makes total sense. Total sense. Well, gentlemen, this is for all the proverbial marbles. This is maybe the most important question out of the entire evening. And I hope you two have really prepared yourselves. Because we were speaking of spooky season earlier. And so we're going to end a long-standing debate right here, right now. What is the best Halloween candy to get when you are trick-or-treating? That's what I need to know. And Steve, I want you to give me your answer.
Is this are we doing this draft style? Are we doing our top five? Are we going to shout out our favorite all at the same time so that we don't?
I just need your favorite,
just number
your
one,
favorite one, top, or the one that you think is universally the favorite, the best candy to get.
The universal best candy on planet Earth, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Okay. All right. All right. Matthew, is that all right, also your answer?
All right, yes, but I need to tell you why, though. Because my kids have never got to eat a single Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. If you have kids and you're not exploiting them as peanut butter cup hookups, then you're doing parenting all wrong. You can tell them it's because you're worried about their teeth or diabetes or all that, you know, nonsense. Make up whatever you want. That's fine. Just tell your kids that you have to investigate the candy every year and then steal every single peanut butter cup. My kids think that peanut butter cups are like Italians and that they're just mythical creatures. They don't exist. They're not real. They've heard of them, but so help me God, they will never see a single peanut butter cup.
Or an Italian. Got it.
Chris Pratt is as close as you're ever going to get.
It's a me. It's a Chris Pratt.
Goodness.
I love it. Guys, you both answered correctly, and I had a feeling that could happen because everyone knows Reese's are the best candy to get when you're trick-or-treating. That's totally fair.
So
but
is there a tiebreaker?
The tiebreaker, yes, there is. Ooh. What is the worst candy to get when you candy are trick-or-treating? Corn. What is the worst? What is that candy that you dread and that you're just like, no way I'm eating this. This is that house sucks because why would they ever give us this candy?
William Cat was in that house. It still sucked.
Yes, that's
candy
true.
Corn.
Let's go with candy corn.
Yeah,
you're going.
I'm gonna give Matthew. You can go first since you went second on the original question.
Sure. Palmfuls of sweaty circus peanuts have got to be the worst.
Oh, Matthew.
Because they don't have packages. They don't have packages. That somebody just reached in there and grabbed circus peanuts and then they heaved them on you. Some lady that had them since 1987. If anyone tries to hoist circus peanuts on you, burn their house down. But don't actually do that. I'm just kidding. But do burn their house down.
I don't know that I've ever seen circus peanuts in an actual
trick-or-treat
bag.
You haven't trick-or-treated in Nebraska City. There's maniacs
Steiner
out here.
Is admitting to a crime or not here, but you said burn their house down, and he conveniently just recently commented, I have. So... I hate that I have to testify against him now. Although he doubles down on it and says, indeed, circus peanuts are the worst. So understand criminal Skeeter, pyromaniac, who was eliminated one round ago. It's making me rethink eliminating him. I don't want my house to catch on fire is what I'm saying, Skeeter. Steve, what is the worst candy that you can think of? That is the absolute worst candy to get when trick-or-treating.
Absolutely candy corn. Candy corn is nothing. I don't know why anyone would take sugar and do that to it. Do you have something against sugar? Show me on the doll where the dip-em touched you. Because it's sugar. Sugar should be delicious. It should not taste like a mouthful of wax.
That is a strong stance. And I will tell you, decidedly, I know why I chose this as a tiebreaker, because everyone loves Reese's, right? Everybody know. I knew that was going to be the answer. I knew we were going to have to go to the worst candy selection. But what you didn't know is I love candy corn.
Ooh.
And I'll show you where the candy corn touched me. Right here. In my tummy. In my tum-tum. I'm that guy. Ooh. Eating fistfuls of candy corn, Steve.
Ooh, Steve.
And I knew somebody was going to say candy corn, and that person was going to lose the game tonight.
So Steve,
as much as I have enjoyed your opinion, and I absolutely have, I'm going to have to tell you right now that I'm awarding 1 billion fulfillion points to Matthew for his answer. And I'm awarding you negative 367 billion points for your answer. Because it's just wrong, sir. It is wrong. It is just inconceivably incorrect. But I love you, and I value your brain. But I'm going to have to say goodbye to you, because I would much rather not eat sweaty 80-year-old circus peanuts than I would eat candy corn. So, Steve, thank you so much. Everybody, say bye to Steve.
Bye, beep, Steve. Boop, boop.
Matthew.
All right. It's just
you
us.
You did it. You did it, guy.
Two-time champion.
Top of the heap. Undefeated. The heap.
My kids will respect me finally.
They will. And they'll not respect me, because I told you they emailed asking for you to lose. But sure. I can't go against good answers.
For sure. Like,
it's just, that's why they chose me as a host. It's not absolutely. It's not because I came up with this series. It's because I was chosen for my righteous decision-making abilities.
You're our pop culture Sherpa through these murky waters. You know,
I am.
You're gonna
and
get
you know
us
what
home.
I think? Speaking of guiding people to what they need, I think people need 60 seconds of you right now. Unfiltered, 60 seconds. Your time starts as soon as I can get this stuff up. I'm going to remove myself. A little video will play, and then you get your 60 seconds, okay?
Beautiful. All right, guys, check me out on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and Twitter at Blevo Comedy. And then I am going to be at the Backline Comedy Theater in Omaha, Nebraska on October 2nd for Chuck and Bill After Dark at 10 p.m. It's the final edition of that, so come out for that. October 8th, I'll be in Des Moines at Teehee's for a show called Glory Hole. I believe that's at 9 p.m. October 23rd, I'll be at Full Circle Venue in Grand Island, Nebraska. Look up tickets for that on my Facebook page. And October 30th, I'll be at the Omaha Funny Bone opening for the Ragin' Cajun, John Paul Morgan. Also, if you have TikTok, check out Breakfast Journal. I just did voiceover work as PewDiePie for a new animation that they did, and it's deeply, deeply disturbing. So go give it a view. We're trying to get PewDiePie to watch it. So, all right.
I love it. Fantastic. What a way to spit. That was a champion's 60 seconds. You know what I mean? That was a true champion 60 seconds. I'm going to bring everybody back in to join us real quick. One at a time here with Steve, Skeeter, Ben. Oh, Skeeter, do not burn my house down. I'm just saying, don't do it. Listen, internet, if my house burns down in the next couple days, it was Skeeter. It's just, I'm putting it out there. Everybody knows. He has no alibi. I don't care what he says. It's true. It's facts.
It wasn't me.
Everybody, where if people are looking to find more of you, Ben, where can they find out more about you?
Well, go check out my wrestling podcast, Two Marks and a Spark. Go follow me on Twitter at Ben Shrewsbury. It's just my name. I post on Twitter way too much. I shouldn't do that, but I do. And yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Skeeter, where can people find you other than when you're not burning houses down?
I do a little bit of card gaming through Yu-Gi-Oh, and you can find me on a lot of stuff under Skeeter the Comic King on YouTube, Instagram mainly. So it's a good place.
Excellent. Go check him out. It may just save my house. Steve, where can people find you?
Weekly Too Much Scrolling. Go to TooMuchScrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of The Last Word. I sincerely appreciate it. I know our audience did as well. And to our audience, I say, make sure you tune in to project-nerd.com for all of your nude news, for all of your nude news, which is a new show that we have coming. No, for all of your nerd news and updates. Also, make sure you navigate over to the project-nerd YouTube channel. Click that subscribe button and turn on the little bell icon to make sure you get updates when all of these videos go live, among many, many other amazing video series coming to your eyeballs that we all work very hard on. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Project Nerd Podcast Network. Over 13 plus podcasts coming at you on a weekly basis, just making your commutes that much sexier. You know what I'm saying? Project I don't know if they're sexy shows, but they probably make it sexier. It's probably a thing that's happening. So go check it out. There's only one way to find out. Listen, that'll tell you if it's sexy or not. And until next time, I've been your host, Andy. I'll see you later. Goodbye.